Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. It's Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're here for another Tuesday night on the Para X Network with our gathering around the metaphysical table.
I know. How are you, Heidi?
I am fully functioning after our night in the woods.
Oh, that was wild. That was wild.
So, and you are?
Yeah, I am too. You know, yesterday I thought I would die because I, you know what? We just had too much stuff, and coming back through the marshland in the middle of the night, because we decided that we would do that because we could see and there was not a lot going on where we were. And I was so uneven because I had a heavy backpack and then I had something else. And so I was so unbalanced in trying to step in exactly the right place on that marshland, not to go in the bog, because I really didn't want to get stuck in the bog again. And then once we got to the other side, then it was another mile or two back to the car. I thought I was going to die, really. And you, I can't believe you were okay. You and Gina, the way you were pushing that wagon. I mean, my God, that was crazy.
You're freakishly strong.
That's
the only explanation. We're freakishly strong. But it was we had the wagon of gear.
Oh my God.
Which was fine, except pushing a wagon through a trail and woods and boggy marsh. It's tough, but we powered through it.
Oh my God.
But it was what I was thinking as I was pushing the wagon and walking through the bog is that I wish I would have known about this workout when I was doing competitive sports, because it was a really good calf workout. It was amazing. So I'm like, gosh, I wish I would have known this when I was on a competitive sports team, because it would have been a good off practice day workout.
I know. Oh yeah. It was a workout for sure. Right. You know, and it was beautiful. The moon was full.
Yeah.
Nice. You could see everywhere. It was like daytime, only it was nighttime. Well, it wasn't that bright, but you know, it was pretty bright comparatively speaking.
You could see pretty well without flashlights.
Mm-hmm. And it was good. I mean, we had some paranormal hits. I don't feel like Bigfoot was anywhere near us, but, you know, the coyotes were singing beautifully, and
there were a lot of coyotes out. It was cool. And the wolves.
And the wolves.
Were howling.
Yep.
That was fantastic.
So, yeah, no, I don't regret going. I think it was really good, and it was good for us as a team to be out there in the middle of the night in the woods, you know, hanging out.
I think we were definitely supported by animal energy, spirit animal energy. You know, we had the wolves and the coyotes, and I don't know if you heard them when we were coming back through the marsh area, all the beavers that were popping up and down, and it was really cool. So, I mean, plus we saw deer and there were other little critters. We were really in a cool place nature-wise and connect with animals and just be in that presence. I thought that was really amazing. And then, we had some interesting hits with orbs. Like, we had a lot of orb activity, which I didn't understand.
I know.
Because I know we were thinking, you know, could there be kind of swamp energy, swamp gas, whatever. And I don't think so. from where we were seeing it, because it
wasn't on the swamp. It was closer to us, and we were kind of on high ground where we were. So
it was pretty dry there. Even though it had rained, it was really dry up there. So it was. I don't know what that was, but it was happening when we were calling out to ask if anything would like to communicate with us.
And we did hear that woman's voice, and I do have that on my recorder. Now, it happened so fast, I'm not really sure what exactly it was, so I'll put it on the computer and I'll clip it out. And I haven't listened to the whole EVP session yet, but that's definitely on there. And it does sound like a woman's voice.
I was thinking,
after we heard it with our ears, I thought, it could have been anything. It could have been even some kind of animal that we just didn't see. But it definitely sounds like a voice. But it happens so fast. And it's just like, whoop, and it's
But it was like she was standing right behind us.
Yes.
There's nowhere within miles that you would find, miles and miles, that you would find any kind of residence. So it wasn't just someone walking around in the woods.
No.
And she would have had to be pretty close to us for how clear it was.
It was loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what that was. But interesting. So, we might get back out there. We're thinking about it. We're toying with that idea because we do have another date out there. So, stay tuned for that, We did hear that, I did hear from one of the people that follows us on Twitter that they say that Bigfoot is not, doesn't tend to be around during the full moon, which I thought maybe because he's too visible. I don't know, because it's like daytime.
I don't know about that. I know we talked about that, and I think, if Bigfoot is smart enough to know what they're doing, if they don't want to be seen, they won't be seen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's daytime, true. Nighttime.
Doesn't matter. But we've had such luck out there before, hearing things and finding things. So, and we did find some other stuff, cool stuff when we were out there this time,
It was worth going out there at night, even though it was, once the sun went down, it was cold.
We got super cold.
It was cold.
We were cold. but we managed, and we posted the best picture of us sitting on the tailgate of Miss Pearl just before we left. And everybody says you guys have such happy smiles on your faces. And it's true, right? It was a good time. We had, even though we were so exhausted and I thought my back would break, it was fabulous.
It was cool. Yeah. And by the time we got done and took that picture, we were all warm again from hiking through the bog. So that made us feel a lot better just to not be cold.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it was fun. It was really good.
Yeah, it was cool. And we've just all sorts of activity. And the next couple of weeks are busy coming up too, but we can talk about that probably next week. Mm-hmm. We've got all sorts of activities coming up, so we can fill everybody in next week because we have a guest this week.
Yeah, we do have a guest this week. So we'd like everyone to welcome Horace Kaufman. Horace, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Good to have you on our show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
We have now, Horace, we have to tell you that there's a chat room, and we're following it online here. So if we have questions for you in the chat room, we will stop when we have a moment and ask the questions from those that are listening in the chat room for you, okay?
That'll be wonderful.
Great.
So Horace is the co-founder of a place called the Giveaway Lodge. But first of all, Horace, we need to talk about you. And I've never asked you this, but how did you come by the name Horace?
About maybe 25 years ago, I was walking in Loring Park. And there were three Lakota elders that were there. And they brought out a sacred pipe. And I offered them water. I had no idea they were carrying the pipe. Mm-hmm. And after we sat down for about maybe an hour, they said, "We would like to gift you your name." I wasn't searching for a name. I didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so my name actually means sacred horse messenger who bridges or builds good. And I can't speak Lakota, but it sounds similar to Shunko Wakan Wambali Wachicho Washte. And so that's part of my name. The other part is that I used to take 24 prescription drugs four times a day, one of them being synthetic heroin. And so when the doctors told me that I was taking that much and I was going to cold turkey all that medicine, they said that would kill two full-grown horses. So I just kind of thought about those two experiences. And at 54 years of age, I thought, you know, as we evolve, why not change our names into those new people? And so that's how everybody calls me Horace.
I love
it. Very cool.
That is cool. That's really cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about your story and how you came into doing this energy work and this work that you do and this healing. I mean, you are an amazing healer and, you know, medicine man. And I've known you for a couple of months. I came out to the lodge sometime early in August, I think, for a sacred fire. Was just blown away by your perception. I mean, you looked right at me and knew exactly what I needed. And I just felt so much better after being there a few hours that it was amazing. So can you tell us how this all came about?
In 2001, I went in for a simple back surgery. I had a pinched nerve. And when I went in for that surgery, when I woke up, the surgeon was waiting for me and informed me that they had actually nicked the dura major and the dura minor. So they cut the sleeve to my spinal cord. And what consisted of maybe a 48-hour stay at the hospital ended up being 137 days, seven
wow.
surgeries,
lots
of infections and so forth. And eventually I ended up temporarily blind in a motorized wheelchair with a colostomy bag and had to have 24-hour care. And also had to be cast. Mm. And so 45 doctors literally have said in the work that I've been doing with colleges and so forth when I walk in that that was impossible.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's just crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. And furthermore, I was diagnosed with two diseases. Two chronic illnesses that have no cure whatsoever. One is called regional sympathetic dystrophy, which just means that your nervous system that normally monitors your flight or your fight syndrome is activated and it cycles about 1,000 times per second. So if you turn the light on when I was in that condition, my body would start to feel like it was on fire and there was nothing that could be done.
Wow.
And then in addition to that, I had a diagnosis of arachnoiditis. So arachnoiditis means that the muscle that connects to the bone, there's a tissue there, and that compressed to 2,000 pounds per square inch. So I was locked in a state of reality that I couldn't move, so I couldn't be animated, and I couldn't wear clothing, and that's how I was supposed to spend my life for the rest of my life.
Oh, my God. That's just, oh, unbelievable.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's an amazing journey already. And then what was the journey from there? I mean, could you share that with us? I mean, because that's just almost unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I was in my 20s, I had a chance to study with Tibetan monks and South American shaman and Native American First Nation medicine people. And they taught me different techniques. And one of the things that would happen in that condition for 7 years was that I would go into grand mal seizures. So if you know what a seizure is, a grand mal is pretty extensive. And the difference would be that I would be conscious and that it would last for over 2 hours.
Wow.
So I was hospitalized. In that 7 years, I was at a doctor's appointment almost every day. And then I was hospitalized multiple times. And so the last time I was at the Courage Center, is one of the places they took care of me, I had a grand mal seizure in the pool. And I started to drown in the bottom of the pool. And eventually they got me to the side of the pool. They resuscitated me. And they brought me to the hospital, and they had all the monitors on me. They were monitoring my brain scan and my oxygen level and my heartbeat and all of these different machines. And after about the fourth grand mal seizure, which, you know, to give you a visualization, I was strapped with six straps in a hospital bed And when I went into a seizure, I could move that hospital bed around the room. So they were pretty violent.
Wow.
And during the last one, I decided to have them turn off all medication, which I don't recommend people do. You know, that's up to you and you talk to your doctors. But at that time, I decided that that was my best option and to discontinue any kind of comforting drugs or any kind of limiting thing that would keep me from having grand mal seizures or anything so I could have my mind back. Mm-hmm. And the next time I went into a seizure episode, I remembered studying with Tibetan monks where they taught me how to keep my heart rate down to 37 beats a minute. And that's my resting heart rate today. It's 37 beats a minute.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going through all of this, and my body is spasming, and I see my two teachers. They're in the room, and they're like a holographic image, and they tell me to start breathing and meditating, and my heart rate goes from over 180 beats a minute to 37 beats a minute. And the doctors and the nurses in the room are watching all the machines get monitored, and they're trying to figure out how this is going to happen. And in that moment, I decided that the allopathic medicine and the holistic medicine could come together and that I would be able to somehow change my life situation. And because I was able to reduce the grand mal seizures and to actually be, you know, cognitive while they were happening, that once I saw that my heart rate was getting around 37 beats a minute, I made the decision to cold turkey all the medications I was on.
Wow.
So 24 prescription drugs. And again, that's where part of my name horse comes in, is that with the pain clinics that were working with me, they said over a 7-year period, taking 24 narcotics four times a day, that I could potentially stroke out or die or have a heart attack. And I started to pray and meditate. And eventually, within 24 hours, I left the hospital and started my own healing journey.
Wow. Wow. That's an amazing, amazing journey. And so now you're a healthy man and you're helping others. You're healing others. So
yeah, when I was in the hospital, I went temporarily blind twice, and in that I was given kind of like a seventh or eighth sense. I don't know how to describe it, but I can see chakras and auras and things like that. And now I teach people how energy flows through the body. I teach people about pain management as well as disconnections and energy cords and things like that.
Yeah. It's very cool. It's very interesting. So tell us about what you do there at the lodge and everything else. And then we'll, let's talk about, you know, because you do so much. I mean, you really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've
really
been there.
I know you have helped me immeasurably. And I think that you help many people. You help a million people all the time.
We hold fires at the Giveaway Lodge on Friday nights. People from the community come out, and we have a talking circle, a traditional talking circle, where you state your name and maybe what motivated you to come out. People come in from all different walks of life and beliefs and faiths and non-faiths. And we really talk about the power of just communication in itself. And in that, there's this beautiful synergy or energy where people feel comfortable just being in the space without knowing anybody or maybe a few people. And we start to share and have conversations. And we talk about how energy moves within each other and in the circle. And people go through different types of healings. They go through physical healings or mental, emotional healings or sometimes spiritual healings. And almost inevitable, and you've been there multiple times, you'll see people weeping and crying and saying, I don't even know you people. And I've been suffering with this for a week or 7 years or whatever it is, and I'm letting go of it here, and I don't need to pick it up again. It's very powerful.
It's very powerful. And it's a place of good medicine. It's a place, you know, the Giveaway Lodge, you go there and you just feel at ease, I think, you know, and you can just, here's what I always say is you can just be, you know, you can just be, and I can be Steffi Jean, and I don't have to have, you know, falseness, you know, or pretend, you know, because it's all me there. So
exactly,
it's amazing. I know I'm a little crazy for you, Horace. I know I am. but you do so well with me that it's awesome. You're very calming for me, I gotta say. Let's talk about the Giveaway Lodge and what happens at the lodge other than these amazing sacred fires.
So at the Giveaway Lodge, we bring in roughly about 44 students a year, 11 students per weekend, and we offer teaching where you can learn different energy modalities and different ways that non-verbal body language can impact somebody. We learn about medicine wheels. We bring in elders, ceremony elders that teach specific kind of things to the group. And the whole idea behind it was that when you go to someone for energy work, a massage work or so forth, there's an hourly fee. And then if you're going through something and you're not quite ready to let go of that, or you need a couple of sessions, it can get quite expensive. And so the way the Giveaway Lodge is designed in the Sacred Listening class is that we meet on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We only bring 11 people in at a time. People that want to stay at the lodge can do so. And then they start to learn from the basics of how healing begins, how to read the energy in the body or to do thermal scanning, all the way to the end where they have a dream or a vision that they want to hold. And to give you an example, there's a man here this weekend who has been in for about a year. He's climbed mountains in Denver, and he wanted to go on another climb. And just by circumstance, as someone that came to last Friday night's actual ceremony or sacred mm-hmm. fire from Canada, just invited him to go to Poland and climb another mountain.
Oh.
And it's that kind of networking system that happens. Now, the amazing thing about that is that 10 days before they both arrived, somebody donated a stainless steel container where they could start practicing dealing with the cold and staying in ice water. And if that person didn't donate that container where they could sit in, they couldn't even prepare themselves for next year to make this climb. And so we find that here all the time, that when you show up, it's because you show up with the other people that this beautiful spiritual network system happens on a Friday, and you can work with that energy. Well, in the sacred listening classes, we do similar things like that, and elders from different cultures just spontaneously show up and start teaching the students different things. So we have people like Tupten Dadak, who actually was responsible for bringing 100 Tibetan families here to New Brighton, Minnesota, and works with the Dalai Lama for 3 months out of the year, come out and teach us about energy healing and meditation and sound healing. We have Jorge and his group of people, the South American shaman, that come out, and they teach the philosophies of the Condor people. And so we have all these multiple cultural gatherings that happen, and that you'd have to fly around the world and meet all these people. Mm-hmm. And we have 44 people that we bring in per year, 11, like I said, per weekend, and mm-hmm. they get to experience all of this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's a really cool place. You know, there's just a plethora of different people that come there, first of all. And, you know, Horace is there, and usually Shire is there, and he's another elder who's also another medicine man. And it's just a cool, very spiritual, good medicine kind of place. That's all I can say about it. And it's, you know, it's, I know that you, Horace, that you always say, you know, when the weather is good, you know, if you want to pull up a sleeping bag around the fire and stay the night because crazy things happen there, I would like to do that sometime. And, you know, look across that marsh. Every time I come out there, I look at that marsh and I know that Bigfoot is out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I guess this is just such a cool thing. Let's see if there's any, if anyone has any questions in the chat room, you know.
We do have a question from Mike. Yeah, Mike asked, when you started meditating, did you use any sort of mantra or focused breathing? This is when you were first getting started. What was your method? That's Mike's question.
So when I first started meditating, it was focusing on the breath and really understanding the inhale and the exhale. And then as it kind of expanded, I used to work in the wintertime in the snow, and I would go sit out in the cold snow and focus on my breath and my breathing to stop my shaking of my body so that I could really get in touch with how my body was working, and that we can control the temperature in our body, and that we can control that once that initial kind of feeling comes. And so it was really about mindfulness, and it was about breath work, and it was about even visualization of the energy around me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Paranormal. So one of the people in the chat room says they went to the website and just signed up for some events. So how about that? That's cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. There you
Thank
go.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Heidi, do you have...
Well, I have all sorts of questions.
I know you
spinning.
Do. That's why I'm looking at you like I know you want to ask some questions. So,
I just... I think it's interesting. You know, I was looking a little bit at your website, and you have where is it? I'm looking at your sacred listening programs. Mm-hmm. It looks like those are something that run on a regular basis all year. Is that correct?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, the second and the third full weekend of the month.
And so that is where people stay the whole weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll come out here.
Go ahead.
Yep, you'll come out here and you'll participate normally at a Friday fire. And then Saturday we begin at 10 o'clock. Sometimes we go till 8 o'clock. Sometimes we go to 2 in the morning on Saturday. And then on Sunday we kind of go through what it is that you're learning. And it's kind of a nice way of getting away from the hassles of home life and maybe the city, and coming out to a beautiful place where there's 22 acres of marshland and completely quiet. And just kind of really getting in touch with nature and that stillness within yourself.
Okay. Well, I want to ask what these weekends are about, if you don't mind talking about it, but we should take a commercial break. Maybe it's a good time to take a break, and then we can come back into it.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. So we will go to commercial. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Parax.
Sure, you're wondering why you received this tape from a random stranger.
What was that?
What?
I heard something.
Like what?
Like a gunshot.
But is it really random? Am I really a stranger? Or are we connected in some way? To a web of lies and deceit? Possibly murder?
sorry about our argument the other day. I'd like to make it up to you. In your office. I've been such a bad girl. I need you to correct me.
Okay. I'll unlock the door.
Hello, Ben! How are you?
You see, I hear things, see things. I know everything. To protect myself, I need these stories to be told.
Blood Noir is a crime and horror anthology show. Stories about people caught in desperate times and only have one way out.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Stephanie and The Gathering, and I have Heidi and Horse at the metaphysical table tonight.
Yes, we're all gathered around together. Mm-hmm. And Horse, we were talking about your sacred listening weekends, and you were going to talk a little bit about what that looks like so people have an idea of what happens when they do this mini getaway from the rat race of life, we'll call it.
Sure. So many times you'll come to a retreat or you'll come to a workshop and it has an agenda. This is what you're going to learn. This is what you're going to experience. And it leaves no room for present moment discovery. And so what we find is that when people come out here, we open up a circle and we start to just listen to the stories that people are telling and how it weaves this kind of energy, a lot like what you do, Heidi, with Reiki, we do with storytelling and so forth. And as we're going through that, we notice how people are responding. And some of the elders will say, well, you notice that when you said this or this, your arm did this, or maybe your voice did that. And can we explore that? And when we do those kind of things, people start to become more aware of what they're not saying versus what they're saying. So one of the experiences that we had recently was we had people come in and we went through the chakra system and we had them stand next to each other, just straight across from each other. And you could just answer one or two answers, compatible or non-compatible, without thinking about it. And then you looked at the person in front of you and you thought about how you felt, let's say, in your third eye, and you answered compatible or not compatible. And then your throat chakra, and then your heart chakra. And people started to realize that they were compatible and their energy kind of blended and it was good, and sometimes it was combative. And they're like, well, wow, I didn't even know that this was taking place with the strangers in the room, or maybe I brought a friend with. And can you say more about that? And then the elder said, well, imagine this, when you're walking in and you haven't said a word to that other person, you're kind of scanning their body or you're kind of scanning who they are, and you're deciding in those split seconds how to read their energy, whether you're conscious or unconscious of it, yeah. And you're going to have that kind of impact. Then what he did is he had people put their backs to each other and do the same exercise, compatible, not compatible, and so forth. And what we learned in that is that some people, they would absolutely need to be facing each other so that the bridging of their chakras, of their throat chakras, would come together and they'd be able to speak with one another. And others, it's better off if there's a conflict that they stand by the side of another person rather than straight on. And those are the kind of things that we discover on those weekends. And then people go home and they apply them to their family or to their work environments and so forth. And it's really fascinating because we never know, you know, it's always about how to read energy or another tool for communication, whether it's, you know, in conflict or just in team building, and how that energy transfers in through the body and into the environment. And how ultimately it impacts you. That's kind of the things that we do out there.
Wow. Now, Steph, you haven't gone for a weekend, have you? You've been to ceremonies that are just a one day or evening.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you muted?
I am muted.
I'm like,
sorry.
Sorry.
You know what? I have dark chocolate here, and I was chomping on some, so I muted so nobody could hear that. And then I forgot to turn it back on.
Oh, dear.
Yes. No, I have not been there for a weekend. I have been there for the sacred fires, which are amazing in and of themselves.
Yeah. Very cool. I mean,
What did you think about the first time when you saw somebody standing there and we linked their heart chakra with their third eye, and they kind of go over and they go through that experience of literally feeling the energy throughout their entire body to the point where they feel like they're back in the womb? I mean, you've witnessed that several times. What did you think when that first happened?
It's quite amazing, actually. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, because you know you can feel it, because you know I'm an empath, so you know you can feel it to a certain extent. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's all I can say is it's amazing. I don't even know words that I can use to describe it. It's just it's very cool and wow, real, you know.
We've impacted hundreds of students' lives, and the amazing thing about it is just like what Steph's going through right now, and that's it's hard to articulate.
Yes,
you really need to be there and see it and experience it, and once you do, it's so profound that mm-hmm. when you try to share it with somebody that this is what it is, you fumble through your words because there is nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're still kind of thinking about it, you know, and I mean, like, mm-hmm. even last week when you had a bunch of us come down on the floor and help you, I mean, mm-hmm. that energy that was just flowing through us was unbelievable. You know, it was like nothing I've ever felt before. It was mm-hmm. crazy. So I can only imagine what that person who was on the floor benefiting from all that. Well, we all benefited, but we were doing it for him and how he mm-hmm. must have felt. And I know he was speechless as well, you know, at the end. You know, he talked some, but his eyes were like wild. You know, he was trying to articulate what he had felt and, you know, what happened. So, yeah, it's amazing.
So Sherry in the chat room has a question. She's asking if this could be compared to a Kundalini awakening.
Absolutely. In fact, I was asked to go to Arizona a couple of months ago in May, and join up with the Sikh organization. And there's a gentleman by the name of Guru Singh, who his teacher was, and I will not damage the name or insult the name, but there was the yogi that brought Kundalini Yoga to the United States was his teacher back in the 70s. And when we had an opportunity to share with all of the yoga instructors for Kundalini Yoga, we talked about different things, and they described it as, well, part of this is could be explained through a Kundalini yoga. And as we were doing those kind of things with that level of instruction, they asked for a demonstration of how powerful Kundalini or that energy is. And there was a woman that stayed maybe about 25 feet away from us. And we built up energy in our bodies, and we just lovingly sent it to her, and had two people behind her, and she literally kind of looked like she passed out, but her body didn't collapse, just kind of went over. Her eyes went into REM state, and they laid her down on the floor, and she had a Kundalini experience, even though that we were 20 feet away from her and never touched her.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
And that's how powerful energy is.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go through this awakening, you know, the whole planet is awakening. You have the seekers that are looking for different venues to try and learn. But as a whole planet, we've awakened. And so we now have this consciousness of actually reading and feeling people's feelings. And most of us are starting to get really overwhelmed with it because we don't know how to discern what's our feelings and our emotions and what's theirs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people like you, Heidi, with the Reiki and so forth, we're all very busy right now because mm-hmm. we're trying to teach people how to discern what that energy is, what to do with it, and it's on such a massive scale that literally people are feeling it to the point where you can be 20 feet away and impact somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, yeah, I do think, and Heidi, you and I have talked about this a lot, and that it's like a new, it really is a new age, right? People mm-hmm. in the last 10 years, it's like things have just kind of broken out. I mean, with all of this healing stuff, energy stuff, paranormal things, things that were never talked about 20 years ago are now on the forefront. You know, everybody's talking about it now, and it's accepted.
Yeah, well, they might have been talked about, but maybe not as widely.
Yes,
as it was they, kind of accepted. The,
yeah,
as they're becoming so, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. You know, that mm-hmm. there's places like your lodge and other places that people can come and feel accepted, even if it's not something that's part of their immediate community.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the common things that happen on a Friday is people will look around and say, first of all, you don't think I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I'm feeling these feelings and I don't know how to discern it. I may have went to a restaurant and sat in a seat and I felt the energy of the person that was sitting there before me. And if I try to explain that to somebody, they're going to think I'm absolutely ready to be locked up. And mm-hmm. yet I know for a fact that I'm feeling this and I don't know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And so they come out and they share these different things and they don't feel alone because everybody is feeling it and on some level and they just don't know a safe place to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice when you can find that community and feel mm-hmm. like you're a part of it, even when you don't know anybody there
mm-hmm.
on a conscious level or an immediate, you know, where you meet someone, you don't know them, but spiritually and energetically, you do know them.
Mm-hmm.
They're your brothers and sisters and your mm-hmm. fathers and mothers and your siblings and your or the
yeah.
children. I mean, it's all everybody's everything mm-hmm. in a place like that, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt the first time I came there, I felt immediately comfortable and I trusted all of you just like that. And that doesn't usually happen with me. So I knew you guys were just. Here's what I say. You guys are my tribe because I can come there and I'm just me, you know, and you accept me for what I am and you help me through whatever it is I need to be helped with. And it's amazing. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place.
So Sherry in the chat room is asking, have there been any psychic vampires at the lodge?
Well, everybody has to divine what a psychic vampire is. Yeah, there are people that have a situation or a scenario where they feel like they don't really know how to balance that energy and so forth. And generally what happens is the very few times that something like that might have occurred that the people just don't feel comfortable with it. The other thing is that when you have a kind of group dynamic that's created out here with the elders that are here, we haven't seen anybody who really has a need to do that or really feels even comfortable coming around if they were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. So do you think it's the energy of the place that maybe just keeps people like that from even participating or joining?
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been so many people on a spiritual or conscious path. I mean, the Giveaway Lodge is one of the few people or places in the United States where the lamas, the Tibetan lamas, have come and actually built a four-day sand mandala of compassion and did the full ceremony. Most of the time, like they did it at the MIA and they've done it, you know, at different universities and stuff. But they felt that what was taking place here was so important that they came here for 4 days and did a ceremony. And Chief Galen Arapaho, Dakota man, came here and also held the ceremony. So we have all of these spiritual leaders that are coming here and saying, we want to contribute our love and our compassion and our understanding and our blessings in a good way so that people have a place to come and share their walks of life and not having to have them be the same, but wanting the same goal. And that's love and peace and safety and a place for their children and unborn children to prosper.
That's really a nice, Mm-hmm. I like that, love, peace, and a place to come to. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is.
So Mike in the chat room is asking about your teachings, where you studied or with, you know, who did you study with or where, if you could speak into that for a minute.
So one of the areas that I studied was up in International Falls, and I studied with two Tibetan monks. The translation of their names is Perfect Sun and Perfect Moon. And they taught me how to hold my couple of fingers on someone's wrist and listen to their heartbeat and actually pick up the energy or pick up the imagery from that. So that's one person. In the First Nation traditions, there have been teachers from the Lakota, Dakota Nations, the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe, the Dene. There was a Dene grandmother that I studied with in Arizona. And then in the shaman, South American shaman area, when the Nuevo Fuego, which is the new fire ceremony that took place here at the Giveaway Lodge, I studied with those shaman too. And the Nuevo Fuego ceremony, real quickly, I mean, we probably do a whole program on it, was prophesied 7 generations ago. And it was a bridging of North America and South America. And in order to have that ceremony that was prophesied, the NASA had to get involved. The United States government had to get involved. The Mexican government had to get involved. And the coalition of shaman in the Yucatan had to get involved in order to have that ceremony and to work with each other so that 28,000-year cycle would come to an end, and the next 28,000-year cycle would begin, and the Giveaway Lodge was a big part of that.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people can feel that energy, you know. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing.
So we have another question in the chat room. This is about your schedule here. Paranormal Rider is saying, I see the October 26th and 27th 2-day event. Are there any open 1-day or introductory events that are coming up in addition to that?
So there are two events that will be coming up. And if you want to know about the event in November, there is a 1-day event in Minnetonka. There's another 1-day event that will be happening in Hastings. We're just in the process of putting together those times. There will be from 10 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening, and it will be on a Sunday, probably either the fourth Sunday or the first Sunday of November. But if you tap into the Giveaway Lodge website and you request more information, then we can definitely send that out to you.
Okay, great. And for our listeners that are not local, this, we're talking about Minnesota here. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's looking it up on the internet, it's here in Minnesota. We'd love to have you come here. It's kind of getting chilly, but come on out. But yeah, we're talking about Minnesota here for those cities that if you're looking them up. Yeah. But good. So a couple of 1-day events in the works, or there's more information out there if you go to the website
right.
Request. Okay.
And mm-hmm. then for the sacred listening classes, on the third Tuesday of every month at 9 o'clock central here, we do a 1-hour session for people to come in and connect through Zoom. And we've got people from Dubai and Montana and Texas and all over. And we're welcome to kind of listen to some of the lessons that are taught in the weekends. And, that kind of has a real positive impact out there, too. So if you're interested in that, if your listeners are interested in that, again, just go to the Giveaway Lodge website, and we can send you some information on that. Space is limited, so we don't we don't say that too much, but this is an opportunity for you to get a little bit more understanding of what we do here and connect with us, even if you're not in the, in the state of Minnesota.
Perfect. So it's, so for all of you, because we have listeners all over the world, including troops sometimes, you know, who are on the front lines. So awesome. So look at the website, and Horse's email is also there. So if you have questions for him, send him an email for sure.
Yeah, please. Or just say hi. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, or just say hi for sure. Well, we have about 10 minutes left, Horse. What would you, is there any subject or something you would like to talk about?
You know, the thing is, do we have to do any kind of a disclaimer on this in case you're listening and you're driving or anything? Because we're going to attempt to, and probably fail at it, and that's okay. You can tell I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of success. So we'll give it our best shot. But I was thinking maybe we need to talk a little bit about a disclaimer of if you're listening and you're driving, what we're going to attempt is to create an imagery or an energy that you can feel. It's never been done before, at least we've never done it here at the Giveaway Lodge on the radio, but what we wanted to attempt at. So is there anything we need to share with the listeners before we begin?
Well, just be careful. So if you're driving, maybe you should pull over.
Just be safe and be careful and just use your best
maybe
judgment.
We should pass on this.
I think you can do it. Let's do it. And okay. We've already said it now. So if you're driving and you want to listen, pull over.
Awesome.
End of story. Okay, yep. Let's go.
So you're invited to just sit back and listen. Know that anything that has happened in the past is no longer relevant, and anything that will happen in the future after this is no worries, no concerns whatsoever. It's just in the moment. And you're invited to just really go within and try to quiet your mind and pay attention to your breathing. This is an event that we have over at Normandale Community College. We do this with college students to just bring their calmness back into their body and their awareness back into their body. And so just kind of focus in on your breath. And you're invited to imagine that you're standing in a stream full of water, and the water is coming from behind you. It's only ankle deep, and it is flowing in front of you. And you can see as you look out in front of you how it's just going away from you. And it's a beautiful feeling. It's nice and warm, and you can feel that energy going over the tops of your feet. And as you feel the energy going over the tops of your feet, you can feel that energy coming up the back of your calves and your legs, your thighs, your butt, your lower back, your middle back, your upper back, all around your shoulders and your arms and down your arms and your forearms and out your fingertips and your thumbs. And just feel what that energy is like. Just be in that sensation. For some of you, you might feel or hear a sound. You might see the sun, or you might hear the sound of a bird, or you might have the smell of a flower. And whatever is there and isn't there is totally okay. And do your best to just keep focusing on that beautiful energy that comes up the back of your body, down the front of it, and down your arms, and out your fingertips and your thumbs, naturally flowing. And as you're in that spot, you can imagine or you're invited that that water starts to rise nice and comfortably, and now it's up to your calves, and it's just flowing through nice and easy. And you can feel the difference of where the water was at the top of your feet and how it was flowing behind you and in front of you. And you can tell that it's now up to your calves and it's flowing from behind you and in front of you. And you feel the difference of what is in the water and what's not in the water. And as you notice all of that, you start to realize that that energy that was flowing up the back of your bodies has increased. Because with the energy of that flow of that beautiful water, you have this beautiful sensation. Some of you might feel tingling, or some of you might feel a warmth, or even a color, and just allow that energy to to come up the back of your legs and your butt and your lower back and mid back and upper back and shoulders and back down your fingertips. As that happens, just allow yourself to become even more calm, to be centered, to be in touch with your breath. For some of you, you might even start to feel tingling in your fingers, sensations of beautiful warmth or colors around your arms or your body. And as you allow yourself to go even deeper, you're starting to remember what it was like to be in the womb before all of this chaos, all this distraction, and all of these things that are happening outside in the outside world were discovered. That you were swimming in a beautiful pool of water, and that you had two heartbeats. You had the heartbeat that was growing inside you, and you had the little bigger heartbeat that you could hear. And you were in the land of the two heartbeats, where you were floating without a care. And that there was an experience of telepathy. Whatever your mother was thinking at the time, you could feel. And whatever you were feeling, your mother could feel you thinking it. And it was this beautiful place. No distractions. No future. No past, just the immediate sensation of life growing within life. Mm. When you're ready, go ahead and start thinking about that beautiful water up to your calves and bring it back down to your ankles. And whatever sensation, that tingling, that visualization, that whatever you're feeling in your body, go ahead and bring that back down into what it was you were feeling when that water was just going over the tops of your feet. And know that whatever you experienced, whatever was behind you that no longer serves you, that was attached to you through your history, through your past, is now gone in front of you and no longer serves you, is no longer a part of you. The beautiful water has taken it away and left you with just that present moment feeling, that newness. When you're ready, go ahead and allow that water that you were imagining that was going over your feet to just return to Mother Earth. And as it does, bring you back to your consciousness. You want to shake your hands or shake your feet, stand up and shake around and blink your eyes just to know that you're back 100%. And for those who were able to get there, maybe you weren't imagining it. Maybe you're remembering what life was when life was growing. Oh, Matakuyasan.
Hmm. Awesome. What a fun way to end the show.
Yeah. Very cool. I think there has been no chatter in the chat room, so I'm pretty sure everybody was
participating.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was cool. Awesome.
That was cool. But we do have to go because we're at the end of the show. And Horace, thank you for joining us tonight. This has been really great.
Okay, so comments are coming
thank
in.
You so much.
Awesome. Thanks. Great for great meditation. So, yeah, people. Okay, now the comments are coming. Thank you, Horace, for joining us. And for those of you listening, you can find the website is giveawaylodge.com. And we are almost done.
Yeah.
So another show.
Thanks to everybody who's listening and the troops. If you're listening, thanks for your service and sacrifice. Also, to Para X for hosting our show, and Sarge. We can't even tell anybody out there what Sarge is doing for us to help us
right now,
with tech stuff. So thank you. Thank you, Sarge, for helping us. And we'll be back next week with another show. And then we're almost upon Halloween.
I know. Halloween. Uh-oh. Here we go.
All right. So thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Join us. Yep. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you.